Stay in touch with us on Facebook and Instagram at Unique Yet Connected.
You are now listening to the 39th episode of Unique Yet Connected podcast. The theme for this episode is Desperately Looking for Me. Please help. Hello, brilliant souls in and around the world. Nolita Xozwa Fenton is my name and Dolokas is my clan name. And this is episode 39. A warm welcome to Unique Yet Connected podcast, where we treat our episodes as mini workshops so you can best share the wisdom of systemic family constellations. Thank you for joining our movement of translating this wisdom into a practical language that all of us can easily understand and, most importantly, implement in our daily lives. The theme for this episode is Desperately Looking for Me. Please help. Remember, when you comment, ask questions, like, and share our content and links, you help us grow together. And there wouldn't be a podcast without you, myself, Kinga, Nick, the ones who came before us, and Bert Hellinger, the founder of the work that is most fulfilling for Kinga and I. And as always, Kinga's on the other side of the virtual. Hi, Kings.
Hi, thank you, Noli. Hello, dear listeners and co-editors. Yes, dear listeners, keep sharing this knowledge because it can change lives for the better. Thank you for your contribution in helping us to be chosen into the top 10 South Africa family podcasts by Feedspot. And you are, as always, our inspiration in building and opening up the theme about the laws of love and romantic relationships. Please continue to share your questions, comments, and insights on uniqueyetconnected@gmail.com and on WhatsApp 076-289-6670. Join our monthly virtual connection circle every last Tuesday evening of the month. To receive your links, subscribe on our website www.uniqueyetconnected.com or check for updates on our socials at Unique Yet Connected.
Or they can simply drop us a WhatsApp message, Kings, so we can share the link with them. Again, our WhatsApp number is 076-289-6670. We are still opening up the signs of codependent behavior. A lot has come up, and I've been unraveling for the past few episodes. I'm still processing, and I think I'll continue to process even after we finish the codependent phase. Dear listener, if you need support in any way during your processing time, remember we are here for you. Right, Kings?
Yes, yes, we are definitely here for you. And you can contact us on whichever channel suits you the best via our website, email, WhatsApp, or just drop us a message on our socials and we will respond to you. We are here to answer your question in the best way we can. Now back to the episode. So we've been working with the codependent, the signs of codependency for quite a while now. And we have established in the previous episodes that people can exhibit codependency in different ways and in varying levels. In this episode, we carry on reading through and discussing the list of the signs of codependent behavior by Erica Swinley. We asked you in the previous episode to start to assess your level of codependency by the criteria of whether this feels very much like me, or a little bit like me, or not at all like me. You can scale them between 1 and 10, 1 being not at all like me, and 10 exactly like me. So if you haven't already done so, then pause the podcast and bring your notebook and just start to give your 1 to 10 numbers while I'm reading the list. So let's read through again the list and some signs of the codependent behavior.
Let's continue to measure ourselves, dear listener. My pen and paper is ready here. Let's all fill into what comes up as we go through the list and the episode. Take it away, Kings.
So here it comes. Lacking boundaries between yourself and others. Blurring lines in relationships. You struggle to see where you end and the other person begins. Feeling low self-esteem. Fearing rejection and abandonment. We have worked through these points in episode 35, and you are welcome to go back to the episode to listen to them. And then in episode 36, we looked at apologizing or accepting blame to avoid conflict. Being who someone else wants you to be. Ignoring your own needs. Putting other people's needs before your own. Anticipating and reacting to someone else's needs, which may be perceived accurately or not. So this one was a big one. It took us two episodes to crack this one in episode 37 and 38. Now here we are by episode 39, and we're starting with the point, feeling like you have lost your sense of self. And the other points on the list are as it follows, needing to control, including making decisions for others or managing them, doing things for people that make you feel uncomfortable just to make them happy, taking on too much, basing your mood on how someone else feels, not your own emotion, resenting not receiving appreciation for your action.
I must say, at first I was intimidated by the list and felt quite anxious about recognizing my codependent behaviors from the list. But in this episode, I feel a sense of surrender and embrace towards the list. Whatever codependent behavior skeletons that are still lurking, I'm okay with them. So in this episode, we start with opening up, feeling like you've lost your sense of self. What is that all about, Kings?
When your attention is constantly turned outside and never inside, as we discussed it in the previous episode about codependency, that this is actually most of the times what happens with us, there is no way that you will actually know who you really are. More than probably, you are too scared even to look. The critic in you tells you that you will find nothing good when you look. So you start to believe that you are who the other people tell you or told you who you are. But this belief self is not your true self. It is not your essence. And I'm even tempted to say that this is not a piece of your soul.
Ooh, okay, thank you so much for giving us that understanding. So before we get into the questions, let me just say, as you were talking, I remember that I have shared in one of the episodes before that there were older people when I was growing up who would say mean things to me, just outright horrible towards me, and I believed what they were saying. So could that be related to looking outside of myself? I feel like since those words, I started looking outside of myself. I started being this person that constantly believed that the voice that was outside was true. So I started caring more about what were thinking of me. If I do this, what would people say? So this hypersensitivity to what people thought of me translated to my work. So as a creative, you constantly have to put yourself out there. So if someone saw my work and they didn't like it, or they really responded in a negative way, it affected me so much. I started pulling back because the feedback was very important to me and in my line of work. So I started to unconsciously create a block to expressing myself. So I think it just came through to me now that I lost my creative voice, vision, and self. Because I blocked myself. I didn't want to hear feedback. So, wow.
Yeah, you had just a big insight into what might be happening inside you and with losing yourself. So just on another note, positive feedback is very important to all of us. That is actually one of our love languages. So it is important for us to feel loved, to get back words of affirmation from the people whose opinion matters to us. So positive feedback builds us up and makes us stronger. Of course, it is a different thing when we become fully dependent on receiving positive feedback. If I understood right what you were asking, but I'm just assuming, is why would I turn outside instead of turning inside? How does losing oneself happen? And yes, we talked about it when we are not loved for who we are and constantly being fixed by others and being told that we are not good enough as we are. What is important for us, it is not important for others. Maybe we were made to feel a little bit stupid because we didn't know as much as our older siblings or our parents or cousins. And we started to feel that I am not a clever person and I'm unable to learn, which has nothing to do with the truth. But still we are now limiting ourselves to live up to this persona who has a difficulty with learning. And we stop trying to change the picture about ourselves in our head. Another example is when we became emotional support for a parent at an early age, the child fills the void in the parent by taking on a role that stabilizes the parent. This role becomes so cemented into the child's identity that the child starts to believe that this role is who he is. And these are big things. You know, if we would be loved for who we are, as we are, and fully accepted, we could give the same acceptance back to others. Life could be totally different. Instead of being full of strict rules, we would guide each other with love and acceptance. And it is beneficial, even for a small child, to be allowed to learn to make some decisions in his life, like little decisions. Not feeling safe when we are children could also be a big contributor in learning to always turn our attention towards the outside and stop listening to ourselves. There is no way if we have been abused, molested, or if something happened like what happened with you, that you had to run away from violence and war. And even when you were at home, you couldn't be sure that there was safety and security. In this situation, there is no way you can stay calm enough to listen to yourself because you have to constantly look outside to make sure that you don't get hurt.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So what I'm hearing from you is that there are a lot of other factors that can make us look outside of ourselves. So you just mentioned the safety thing, the constant running away. So I have a little bit of that as well, of, you know, just the running from seeing the violence around me during the apartheid era in South Africa. So I'm not sure how much of that has made me look outside, but what I've heard is that it could be a contributor as well. So thanks, Kingsley.
Yes, definitely. And the main thing here is that when something happens to us as a child, and as a result of this, we end up not knowing who we are. We allow the outside to tell us who we are instead of taking pleasure in getting to know ourselves.
I love that, taking pleasure to getting to know ourselves. So before we move on, let me pitch in. You once mentioned something about if our parents were loved for who they are, they would have been able to love us for who we are. So for me, it's like no one knew how to show us or guide us to look inside. And this is based in my current experience where I'm observing other parents. And also as a bonus parent, I see that it's not as, you know, it's not automatic at all that to love children for who they are and also to guide them in their essence, like you were saying. So, yeah.
I mean, I would like to show you, if I would told you that I know how to do this in practice, I haven't seen it. What I've seen working with adults, I've seen that most of us adults who were hurt by not being loved for who we are, then this is what we see, that it comes back. So there is an opportunity actually available to us as an adult to go back and heal the hurts and to get the love we needed so desperately when we were little. Who is the most equipped to give us the love that we need? It is actually ourselves, because subconsciously we know exactly what we need. And even for our parents to understand what we need exactly was a difficult task. Why? Because they are outside of us, and even though we came through them, they are not us. So they do the next best thing and give us what they believe we need. They try to give us the circumstances that, according to them, are the best way for us to become adults, the way that is the most beneficial for us. I'm not talking about here about abusive parents who came from such a line of bad parenting that they don't even have the basic understanding of what it means when you bring a new life into this line. Even adults who are coming from the most appealing upbringing have hope to give themselves the love and care they needed when they were little. In the systemic view, every family has patterns carried on and done from one generation to the other. Not all patterns are bad. And if we find ourselves in the midst of a bad pattern, we don't have to stay there. We can change the pattern by linking back and taking the support of an ancestor who was a good parent and did it differently than the abusive parenting that we got to know. A holistic counseling facilitator can help you to tap into this style of parenting and the love that can flow down from it. This helps not to carry on with the patterns of the different ways of a soul-destroying parenting. It's good to know that every family has the gift of a loving parent, and it actually doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how far you have to go back in the generations to find them.
Yes. I've always seen you do that in a constellation when you have the workshops, where you say something like, don't look here, there's somebody good in your father or mother's line, receive the gift from that person and let it flow to you.
So just to clarify, I don't ask your clients often in the constellation not to look to their parents, because your parents are your parents no matter what. It mainly happens when the child has no business in getting involved and taking on responsibility for what happened between the parents. So then I might ask them to turn away. Yes, it can happen that we are not going to be able to use the way they parented us, like our parents, as a resource. But ultimately, we are aiming to accept that these people are our parents no matter what happened between us and them, even if they seemingly could give us nothing, nothing but pain. Still, they gave us life, which is the biggest thing that could be given. For some reason, they couldn't give us the resource of being a good parent. And this is something that we often work with in my line of work, that, yeah, a bad parenting. And the question I often hear from my clients here is, why did I have such a bad childhood? How could my parents do this to me? What type of parent is the one who does this? Who am I if my parents didn't love me enough not to hurt me? What I really love about the systemic work is that it helps us to understand that there is a reason behind why they behaved like that. And that reason is not that something is wrong with us. It's coming from somewhere else.
Thank you so much for clarifying that, Kings. There is always a root cause. And yes, so now getting back to the root cause, let's hear more from you.
Sorry, before we move on, I just wanted to mention one thing. when you understand the root cause and we understand that the problem doesn't originate with us, that actually frees us up to look inside to the self. Before this, we believed that we were the problem. They treated us badly because we were not good children and deserved it. When we believe this, then we cannot love ourselves. We have to turn our sight for love. But when we start to ask where my life events are coming from, this question frees us up to let go of what is not ours and take all the support that is given to us. This way, we can move out of codependence.
Yes, that is so true. And that takes us to the root cause. Now, let's hear some of the reasons that can help us check in with ourselves. We are still on feeling like you've lost your sense of self.
So maybe this is not true for all of us, but with some of our listeners, I'm sure this is going to resonate. Is there a certain feeling of emptiness that you don't seem to be able to shake off inside you? Is inside you there is something that feels like a void, a hollow feeling? Nolly, have you ever experienced this void?
I don't know if it was emptiness. I've always wondered when I heard people saying they feel empty, what is this emptiness and what does it feel like? For me, there was a sense of not being complete. And my question then is, can emptiness feel like not being complete? Are those two different things?
Yes, it is different to feel incomplete or empty, because incomplete has a promise in it, the promise of complete wholeness. Even when we are in a state of incompleteness, we know that there is a complete state available to us. We just don't know yet how to achieve it. Losing yourself is more like a void, and it's totally different from actually the emptiness the Buddhism talks about. In Buddhism, that emptiness or being empty is when we look inside and we find that there is this very interesting thing inside us. When we really go inside, and suddenly we end up in this vast, empty yet safe place. It's actually quite easy to experience this place. If some of you haven't experienced it yet, you just have to sit quietly in a safe place where no one will disturb you. Close your eyes and follow your in-breath and feel how it fills up your chest and feel how open and vast this space is. It has everything in it. The emptiness of losing yourself feels like a bottomless pit, and oh, it's dark. Our life feels so pointless that there is no need for us to be in it. We are not a gift to life, and life is not a gift to us. We feel like something like a spare part, and doesn't matter if we are here or not here, you know, we live or die. The uniqueness of ours that we talk about here in the Unique Yet Connected podcast, where we are now, this uniqueness is not recognized by us. We don't feel like we are a once-off miracle of light that will never, ever be repeated again.
So, yeah, that is very, it feels like a very heavy one. No, I don't remember feeling like that at all.
So, the Buddhist feeling of emptiness is expansion. And this emptiness, what we're losing yourself, is the contraction. On the deepest level of despair, we contract into this heavy black hole where the pull of the void is so high that it feels impossible to move out of it. But thank God it has different levels and we don't always get stuck in this dark place.
I understand it now. No, I have never felt it, but I'm glad you opened it up so that we can understand what it is and, you know, the difference between the emptiness. And I only realized today that I didn't understand that, you know, what that emptiness was, or thought about the different kinds of emptiness that people were talking about. And I've heard a lot of people before that would say, I feel empty. And most of the time when a person is going through that kind of stuff and they are telling you, you know, how they are feeling, you don't want to dig, you know, and asking a lot of things about how does that feel, what do you mean, you know. So I never really ask what they mean. Thank you.
You actually feel like you are a shell. You move like a robot, but there is nothing inside.
That is quite a heavy one, Kings. Thank you so much for this episode. And unfortunately, this is what we had time for in this episode. I had a revelation to what was the root cause that led me to be disconnected with my creative voice, vision, and self. And dear listener, we also hope this episode will be helpful to you in your revelation to transform your life. Please do share the episode. You will never know who it can help. Kings, what can we expect in episode 40?
Yeah, episode 40, I can't believe. Oh, dear listeners, since the beginning of the podcast, we have been on quite a journey of self-awareness and growth. And we hope that you have found this journey we have taken together as valuable as we did. In episode 40, we will look into who is a social chameleon and who is not. If you feel like you are experiencing limiting patterns or relationship issues and would like to have an individual session, book a family constellation session with us on our website, www.uniqueyetconnected.com. Or on socials, Facebook or Instagram, our handle on both platforms is @uniqueyetconnected.
Yes, thank you, Kings. I am now interested in what the next episode is going to reveal about me. Am I a social chameleon or not? Thank you for listening to our 39th episode. And another big thank you to Nick Moss from That Guy Productions for making us sound fabulous and on point. And that is why we are on the top 10 best South Africa family podcast. Our 40th episode is in 2 weeks' time from now. Tune in on the 18th of February, 2024, from 10 a.m. South African Standard Time. Thank you for showing us love on Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is @uniqueyetconnected, unique spelled YOUNITUE. Stay unique, stay connected, and remember, you are one of a kind. We can only do meaningful podcasts together. Siyabulela, khosono. Till the next episode.
Siyabulela, listening.